Sometimes the fun begins when the paved road ends. Chevy Silverado 2500 HD is made to work hard and play hard on the road or off. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and experience life in HD.
Criminal justice reform it's passed in the legislature. It was swiftly moved through, and it's still awaiting Governor Pritzker's signature. But part of what's in it, as you look at the 700 pages that has been passed and the what it means for law enforcement, what it means for criminal justice, what it means for prison, bail is front and center. That's a big one here. The end of cash bail in Illinois. That's there. What does that exactly mean? You're spending some time here, as you heard from advocates, civil rights advocates say that poor people end up stuck in jail on minor charges, nonviolent crimes, simply because they can't afford to post even a small amount of bond. So they sit in Cook County Jail. They sit in jail awaiting their trial, even though they're not yet guilty. That this is part of what's supposed to help that. But are people who are caught committing more serious crimes, who might be considered more of a danger to the community, what happens there? I think it sort of comes down to how judges choose to enforce this, what the language actually says. And Justice Aurelia Paczynski is joining us to kind of help us through this. How are you doing?
I'm fine, Anna. How are you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. You know, this is a toughie because it's so difficult to understand exactly what all of this means, and the devil's in the details. It's all in the words that are in this particular thing and how judges interpret that. And I don't have a clue, frankly. When we say end of cash bail, what does it exactly mean?
Well, first, I have a couple things to do first, if you don't mind, Anna. First, a shout out to my friend Tom Serafin. I caught the end of his section.
Oh.
I love Tom and always have worked with him since, 1988. So, hi, Tom. Glad to hear you. Second, as you correctly point out, this is a 700-plus page piece of legislation that passed in the wee hours of the lame duck session. And so I think it's going to take a lot of going over by a lot of different people to really see all of its component parts, because it's not just about cash bail reform. It's about a lot of other things, including police departments and things like that. So it is going to take a while for people to go through it. And third, as I always tell you when I talk to you, because I am on the court, not retired, thank God, I cannot comment on whether it's a good law or a bad law or what the courts might do with it if it gets challenged. But we can talk about what's in the law as it's written and its origin, and I'm happy to do that. So what's in the law? The law says cash bail is eliminated. That means that when this law goes into effect in 2023, that judges will across the entire state of Illinois will no longer be able to say to a defendant who has only been arrested yet and not tried and found guilty, and that's an important part of this, arrested but not tried and found guilty, well, you have to stay in jail until your trial, or you can pay a certain amount. And what has happened over the course of years is that those payments have become very difficult for a lot of people to come up with. And so we wind up with thousands of people across the state of Illinois who are not in the Illinois prison system but are in the county jail systems that haven't been tried, haven't been found guilty, but are just there because they have no money. And when you put them in jail, of course, if they had a job, they lose their job. So then they really don't have any money, and they don't have a job to go back to. So then they're a drain on the economy in general, as well as being an unfair effect on their liberty interest. Now, let's talk about that liberty interest for a while. The liberty interest goes back to the Declaration of Independence, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It was put into effect in amendments to the Constitution. It was given an imprimatur in a 1894 Supreme Court case, innocent until proven guilty. It's in the Illinois State Constitution. A defendant is presumed innocent until proven guilty. So that's a fundamental right, the liberty interest, that all of us have. No one wants to get scooped up and put in jail for no reason. So the question is, the police arrest a suspect, he goes before a judge. In the past, what would happen is the judge would say, okay, Mr. Jones, I don't consider you to be a flight risk. You're going to come back to court. Your crime has not been very serious. So if you pay $1,000, you pay $500, you pay $200, you pay $10,000, whatever it is, you can walk free. But you have to give us the money to hold, so in case you don't come back, we can collect it. We can keep it. The impact that was having on everybody, including and especially minority communities, was very severe. And so there was this momentum gathering to change that to a no cash bail system, where the judge would use a matrix instead to determine, is this defendant a flight risk? That is, do I think that this guy's going to come back to court, for his trial? And how violent was the crime? Now, Cook County has been doing this since 2017. So really, what the law does is just say, yo, the rest of the state, you have to basically do what Cook County is already doing. And in Cook County, we use a tool that's been developed by professors and foundations and people who have, you know, researched statistics and computer algorithms, and they've come up with 9 different risk factors that are evaluated to see whether or not somebody should stay in jail until trial, or be released until trial, or be released on electronic monitoring until trial. And so that's basically what it does. It just says the rest of the state has to catch up with Cook County.
Okay, but you said some things there that I just need a little more information on. You said, so no cash bail. The judge still can say if they're considered a flight risk, a danger to the community, if they believe that they've, you can't.
No, after 2023, there's no money involved. You could, a judge, certainly, if any judge in the state of Illinois feels that a person will not come back to court for the trial, or more importantly, is a danger to a person or persons, or a danger to public safety, they can hold them in jail. But they have to have a hearing on that and articulate why they think this person, say for example, is a danger to a person or a danger to public safety. And it's interesting how we're all going to react to this, because the hearings will be held certainly for people who have been accused of violent crimes. So I don't think that it's entirely fair for people to think this is a get out of jail free card. I don't think that that's what this is. I think it's more likely a rational approach to the absolute liberty interest that people have, not to be held in jail unnecessarily before they've been tried and found guilty.
That's very interesting, because we've heard, and you've heard, I'm sure, from the police chiefs in the suburbs and police in general, loudly, they don't like this bill. I think there are portions of it that they're okay with. This is part of it. They believe that it might lead to more folks who are a threat to the community ending up on the streets, because they're saying it sort of ties the hands of the judge and puts the onus on them, a lot of onus on them, to put it in strongly in wording exactly why this person would be a danger, and that's a higher threshold that they don't feel is in the interest of public safety.
My guess is that most judges are already doing that, in their head at least, thinking, you know, weighing the consequences. Should this guy be out? Should he not be out? What was the charge? What was the offense? Has this guy got a criminal record? Has he been a flight risk before? That is, has he not showed up for court before? All of those things go into the sort of, you know, combinations and permutations that are in a judge's brain already. So really what they're just going to say now is say it out on the record instead of having it in their head. I don't think that any judge thinks that is a particular new burden. I think police officers may not be used to hearing it out loud from a judge, but it's rolling around in the back of the judge's head, believe me, because no judge ever wants to be responsible for letting somebody out of jail, wait pending trial, and then have that person go out and commit a new offense. So they weigh it very carefully now.
And you don't feel there'll be any added pressure that this, there'll be any, no.
No, judges do that now. They have to do it now, because just ask yourself, if you were a judge, would you want your signature on the order saying John Jones gets out of jail, not prison, jail, while he's awaiting trial, and then John Jones goes out and murders somebody? They'll be on the front page of the Tribune. No judge wants that, not only for his own reputation in making good judgments, but also for the safety of the community. So it's already in the back of every judge's mind. Police officers are just not used to hearing it articulated in court. And now they, after 2023, they will hear it articulated in court. And in Cook County, they've been hearing it basically since 2017.
I'm really relieved to hear your explanation. I am, because you're very knowledgeable about this kind of thing, and it's not always the way it's being presented, what you just said. It makes me feel, I know these things get to become political footballs, and that's never right, yeah. But we're all those of us just trying to figure out what the heck is going on, and is this going to lead to a fairer system? I think we'd mostly be on board with that. I think the headlines that explain to us that this might lead to a public safety threat or risk or more of that's concerning too. I'm hearing from you that won't be the case.
Well, it is concerning. It is concerning, and every judge and every citizen in every county of Illinois should be concerned about that. But let's look at the Loyola study, which was commissioned by Judge Evans, who led the way, incidentally, on bail reform by leading Cook County in that direction in 2017. When in the Loyola, he commissioned Loyola to do this really in-depth study, and they reviewed thousands of court records, criminal records, defendant records, and what they found was the overall, I'm quoting now, the overall probability of new criminal activity remained at roughly 17% before and after the cash bail reforms in Cook County, and the probability of new violent crime activity remained constant at just 3% both before and after the cash bail reforms in Cook County. So there doesn't appear to be any statistic that demonstrates that violence is more likely. Now, that is always a concern. As I said, it's always rolling around in every judge's brain, and I think that people will find that on balance, evaluating factors and characteristics of the defendant instead of evaluating how rich or how poor they are is a better system for deciding who stays in jail before trial and who doesn't. The Illinois Supreme Court is firmly on board with trying to find a way to reform cash bail. They've not taken a position on this bill, and neither am I, but they have articulated in different studies and in different commissions that they've set up that there needs to be a process. And a matter of fact, in 2020, the Illinois Supreme Court Commission on Pretrial Practices said we need to go through the process of finding a way to solve this problem. The legislature has now taken it upon itself to pass this bill, and we'll see if it passes muster. But the Supreme Court is on board with trying to do something to evaluate the crime and the characteristics of the defendant instead of whether or not he's rich or poor.
Mm-hmm. You know, I feel so much better about this now. I really do, just talking to you. I have covered so many of these cases in my career as a journalist of folks mm-hmm. who have sat in the Cook County jail,
sure.
sometimes wrongly accused and sometimes just awaiting trial for something they didn't do. And they sit there. And there's one case in particular that haunts me, a young man named Jovan. I did a story on, he was sat there for 6 years in Cook
Jovan,
County jail.
He stole a bicycle, right?
That's, you might be right, Aurelia. I'm going to go with you because it's been a while since I covered it. I just know the Loyola University Innocence Project picked up his case, eventually got him out. All charges were dropped, but he spent 6 years in Cook County Jail because he couldn't right. bond out for the whatever it was. It was right. whatever it was.
See, you and I have jobs, and, you know, we're blessed to have these jobs with regular paychecks, but think about the thousands of people, maybe millions of people in Illinois who don't have regular jobs through no fault of their own. They're just, you know, especially with this COVID. If somebody said to them, you have to come up with $500, they'd be hard-pressed to do it. Some people can't come up with $100. Now, you and I might think, oh, how is that possible? But we know it is possible, and it happens every day. So here's, as you said, a guy sitting in jail, waiting for a trial. And in the meantime, losing a job if he had one, not being able to get a job if he wants one,
support a family,
all of that. And so there are like anything else in society, there's pros and cons, there are benefits and burdens, but let's hone in on the liberty interest. Is it right to keep someone in jail until they've been proven guilty just for money?
Hmm. Aurelia, can you stick around with me for just a moment here? I need to pause,
sure.
But I do want to ask you, going in on politics, and maybe there's something else, too, about judges I want to ask you about. Justice Aurelia Paczynski is my guest, and I'm so happy she's on with me. My guest is Justice Aurelia Paczynski. We've been talking about the move to end cash bail in Illinois. Governor hasn't signed this crime bill yet, but he has indicated that he will, and he certainly has said that the ending of cash bail was something he supports. It was something he campaigned on. Justice Paczynski, you were just telling us that you feel as if it is a rational decision, that that when you've read this and you've spent some time looking at it, and that it's not a get-out-of-jail-free card. It isn't something that would be necessarily lead to more crime or a threat to the community, because you're saying judges would have that ability to hold somebody based on that.
Well,
it just ends cash.
Well, here you have two choices. You can let them out of jail pending trial, or you can keep them in jail. And if it's a serious crime, if it's a violent crime, if the person has a history of not coming back to court for other charges, obviously that's all going to be part of it. Plus, the judge can enter conditions for release. You can't go to a certain place. For example, if the arrest was an assault on some person, the judge could say you have to stay 1,500 feet away from that person, or not contact that person in any way, shape, or form, or you cannot have a gun, or the different. You have to give us your work record. You have to demonstrate that you're paying, taking your courses if you're in school, that you're not a truant. So there are different factors, that conditions that a judge can write into the release order that are keyed to specifically this defendant and this charge, and making sure that the community is safe. And if a person does not come back to jail after the judge has given them one chance out, the judge can then say, okay, I'm revoking that release. So, there are checks and balances in the process. The way this law is written, there are checks and balances. I can't say that they're all going to pass court of review muster. I don't know that. I don't know what parts of it are going to be challenged. But the way it's written right now, there are checks and balances in it. But you're right. It does say you cannot hold someone in jail waiting trial just because they're broke. You can hold them in jail if there are other factors that require it.
One of the things that's been pointed out recently, and maybe COVID brought this to light in a big way, is this whole idea of the electronic ankle monitoring bracelets, that they have sort
sure.
of been an epic failure because there aren't enough people to monitor them, and people are cutting them off, and they're not doing what they're supposed to, which is keeping track of the folks. They're not supposed to leave their house except for certain circumstances.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be staying put, and they're not staying put. Can you speak to that a little bit about how that's going and what we need to bring that to be more effective?
I think that your discussion of that is probably better with Sheriff Tom Dart, who obviously knows all about it. I can just tell you that that is one of the resources that judges have and rely on. But I can also tell you that, as has been reported, it was reported in the Sun-Times today, and I'm sure in other articles about this new bill, cash bail reform, eliminating cash bail, really then requires the community to take a look at its pretrial practices, including electronic monitoring, and making sure that there are enough resources to keep track of people, to know what they're doing, to help them if they need help, to keep in touch with them, and that's part and parcel of it. And as the Sun-Times correctly pointed out this morning, the New Jersey experiment with no cash bail had enough lead time in it to build those resources in the community. Now, whether or not the state of Illinois, Cook County, take advantage of the lead time between now and 2023, that's up to the budgeteers. And that's really a budgeteer issue. The commissioners, the city councils, the state legislature, if they do not appropriate enough money to have enough people monitoring the electronic monitored people, then, of course, it's not going to work. If they don't allocate enough money to have pretrial services do thorough investigations of defendants who are brought before court on this question of being released or going to jail waiting trial, then the reports are going to be flawed. So you have to have the infrastructure there. Now, we have until 2023 to get that in place. Whether the budgeteers will meet that responsibility is a question that I can't answer.
Can you answer? Can you weigh in politics? I know you've been around politics since you were a little girl. Your dad, alderman, a member of Congress. I mean, you've talked about campaigns. You've shared some vivid stories, and I've appreciated that. Right before the election, you came on a couple times, and it was awesome to hear your thoughts and your perspective as you look toward President-elect Biden and his search and his pledge to unify the country. What do you have any words of advice? How do you think that will go? Is that possible in this environment?
I think it is possible, but I think it will be very difficult. First of all, and we're only talking about politics now. I'm just talking as a person who's been elected in the past. I'm not talking about anything that's in front of any court right now, anything that's going to be challenged in any court. But you look at the map of the House of Representatives, and the entire middle of the country, from one coast to the other, is red Republican congressmen. And both of the coasts, east and west, and then a couple miscellaneous states, are blue, Democratic. For a president-elect, any president-elect, this was true of Trump, and it will be true of Biden, it was true of any president-elect, to ignore an entire section of the country, obviously you can't unite them. So his problem, I think, and I'm not a political pundit, but just looking at it, I think his problem is going to be to tone down the rhetoric from the left and the progressive part of the party, which he may or may not want to do, in order to find some common ground. Now, remember back in the presidential primaries, he was criticized for being skilled at the art of compromise. But I think that that's going to be one of his strengths. Now, the progressives and the far left let him get away with it is a whole other question. But I think that in trying to unify the country, trying to find some common ground, what do we all want? We all want to be safe. We all want to have a job. We all want our children to be safe and have a good education. Those are fundamental values that we share, whether you're Republican, whether you're a Democrat, whether you live in Nevada, whether you live in Utah or Illinois, we all share those values. And if he can build around those core values that we all cherish and that we all want, I think that he can be successful. But if he lets himself get pulled too far to the left, or if the right, if the Senate Republicans and the House Republicans let themselves get too far to the right, then we're going to have chaos. So it is a function of leadership. I believe that he has it in him. I hope that he has it in him. I pray that he has it in him. But I think it's going to take the kind of compromise that he grew up with, that I grew up with, that some parts of both parties do not accept as viable anymore.
Yeah. Justice Aurelia Paczynski, thank you so much for joining the show.
Oh,
it's always
thanks,
great having you on. And I know I should say you were clerk of the circuit court, so you're very familiar yourself personally with campaigns, not just through your father, but it's...
Oh, yeah.
It's great to get your thoughts. So thank you, and have a good Monday, okay? Enjoy the rest of your
you
day.
Too.